Brother Larry, who's a brother of mine, Brother Scotty, the brother Nate, and the rest of you here. And I hope this song touches your heart like it touches me. Thank you so much.
All along and brokenhearted, trying to calm the raging battle in my mind. In searching for your answers that my troubled soul just could not seem to find. I saw a flower blooming where there was no rain or sunshine, and I knew not that this flower would change the rest of my life. I found a lily in my valley. I found strength when I was worn. I found a place to leave my burdens. He gave me refuge from the storm. Place where I trade my dark skies to beaming rays of sunshine. I found a lily in my valley. And he blooms all the time. So when you're down and brokenhearted, and you just can't seem to find peace of mind, you've been searching for your answers, but your problems are getting worse all the time. Just reach your hands to Jesus. He'll take you in and break the ties that bind. He'll be your lily in your valley. You can watch him bloom all the time. He'll be your lily in your valley. He'll give you strength when you're worn. He'll be a place to leave your burdens. He'll give you refuge from the storm. Place where I prayed my dark skies to beaming rays of sunshine. He'll be your lily in your valley, and he'll bloom all the time. I found the lily in my valley. I found strength when I was worn. I found a place to leave my burden. He gave me refuge from the storm. Place where I prayed my dark skies to beaming rays of sunshine. I found a lily in my valley. And he blooms all the time. Yes, he's a lily in my valley, and he blooms all the time, all the time. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for another wonderful day.
you, Rick. Thank you so much. That wasn't just a special, that was a special. And Jesus is the lily in our valley, and he blooms all the time. Would you please open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. God has exercised me to take up this story of Naaman again. Luke chapter 4. And what God did in Rick's life, he wants to do in everybody's life, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Luke chapter 4, the Lord Jesus begins his teaching ministry in his own local assembly. If you look at verse 16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book," that's where the miracle begins, when we open the book. The Bible's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible will show us not only the picture of God, and who God is, and what God can do. But of course, the Bible is also a mirror. It shows us ourselves and our need. And nothing happens until you open this book. Because the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And until we open this book, nothing happens. And anybody that was ever saved, anyone who's ever come to faith in Christ, one day opened this book, and God began to speak. And it's my prayer that as we open the book today, God will speak to each one of us. Look at what it says. "And when he opened the book, he found the place." You see, sometimes we open the book, but we never find the place. There's a place where God wants us to be, every single one of us. God made us on purpose for a purpose. And because of sin, we're at a place. And God wants us to find a place. You go to the shopping mall and you're looking for Payless shoes or Sears and Roebuck. And you stand before a giant directory with all of the establishments listed right there before you and a map. And on that map, you'll see an arrow that says, "You are here." You see, we have to know where we are in order for us to find out where we need to be. You'll never get to Payless shoes or to Hudson Taylor or wherever you're looking for, unless you know where you are to start. And every single person who's ever found their way to heaven opened up God's Word or heard God's Word, and the first thing that God's Spirit says to us is, "You are here." And that's usually where we're not supposed to be. We're like that prodigal son who woke up one day in a pigsty and he kind of wondered, "How did I get here?" Well, where you are is not as important as where you're going. And God uses his word to show us where we are. He opened the book and he found the place. It's my prayer that somebody would find a place today. The Lord Jesus began to speak from the book of Isaiah chapter 61, which is a fantastic chapter, and I think that the Hebrews knew it by heart because it spoke of them as being the chosen people that God has blessed. It says, and these are the seed which the Lord blessed. And they knew it by heart. And they were, of course, proud of the fact that they were the chosen people. But when the Lord Jesus finished his sermon, when the Lord Jesus finished his teaching, the result is not what you would expect, to have the greatest speaker in all of the world speak in your assembly. Verse 28, after he finished preaching, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill whereupon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." Wow, when he finished his sermon, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Word of God incarnate, they were angry. And they tried to throw him off a cliff. Can you imagine that? Now, why is that? Take a look at verse 25. "But I tell you the truth." Oh, brother. Now, that's the problem. Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. We can hear everything, but the fact of the matter is, when God works and this book is opened and we find the place, God brings us to a place of truth. And the thing that really bothered these people was that he spoke about the Syrophoenician woman and the prophet Elijah, and he spoke about the Syrian and the prophet Elisha as being the objects of God's blessing, and said that God did not bless the lepers of Israel or the other widows of Israel, but went outside of this tribe and outside of this nation to pour his blessings. And they didn't like that because they believed that they were the special chosen people, and they are. But here's the thing. And he opened the book and he came to the place. Every time I open this book, every time you open this book, we need to be willing to change because we're not there yet. You see, salvation is not the end. Salvation is the beginning. Salvation is not a home plate. Salvation is first base. Salvation is not the finish line. Salvation is the starting block. God not only wants us to bring us to heaven, and that's what we hear about the gospel, God sending his Son to die on the cross for our sins. God doesn't only want to bring us to heaven, he wants to bring heaven to us and fill our heart with it. And when our heart is filled with the fullness of God, then we are what God wants us to be. And so these people didn't understand that. You see, every time we open the book, we need to be ready for an alteration. That's alteration. You go to the tailor, and your hem is too short, and the tailor will let it down a little bit. They call that an alteration. Maybe your sleeve is too long, and it looks a little funny. And so you go to the tailor, and he gives you a little alteration. The truth of the fact is, every single one of us needs a little alteration. We open up the book and we look in the mirror and we see ourselves. And God wants to see that, well, this is not right, and this could be, you need to look at this and you need to look at that. And that's the Bible is filled with that. And the problem with the people that listened to Christ's sermon in his own home assembly in Capernaum, they thought they were okay. I have need of nothing. And for that reason, nothing happened. But when we come to a place, we realize that we have a need, then God is able to do what only God can do. The Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everyone turned to his own way? That's the problem. And God sent his Son to be the way. Jesus Christ is the way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He spoke about the Syrophoenician woman who learned that God must come first. She said, I'm going to fix my last meal with my son and we're going to die. And the prophet said, well, that's okay, but would you fix me one first? And then do what you have to do. And it seemed to be so absurd, but she did what the word of God said, and that barrel of meal never ran out because she put God first. And then he spoke about the Syrian named Naaman, who was a great general, who almost missed the boat, who almost went home just the way he came in and was not changed by the power of God. And he tells how God rescued him and cleansed him from leprosy. And both of them were changed by the power of God. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings chapter 5. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. Jesus is the way. For the sinner, he's the way out. For the seeker, he's the way in. For the fallen, he's the way up. For those going astray, he's the way back. For those who are lost, he's the way home. He's the way. No man cometh unto the Father, he said, but by me. You know, there may be more than one way to skin a cat. I don't know, because I've never skinned a cat. And there might be more than one way to skin a cat. But the Bible says there's only one way to be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that was the problem that Naaman had, and I want to talk about it briefly this morning, verse 1 of chapter 5 of 2 Kings. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and he was a mighty man of valor. Here's a picture of a great war hero. He was a national treasure. He was famous. He moved in the highest circles, and he was wealthy. But then it goes on to say, remember Jesus said, I bring you the truth. Take a look at it, verse 1. It says, but he was a leper. Now imagine that you go to the human resources and you're looking for that job, and you pass along your resume, which you have, and it is stellar. You went to the finest universities. You've had a track record of the greatest job experiences. You have a good background and are a very intelligent person. You have certificates, awards, and degrees. You work for the Kiwanis Club and the Odds Fellows, and you have donated time to charity. It's all on the resume there. It's absolutely wonderful. And a human resource director is impressed, trying to fill a position. And then she turns the page and she looks at it on the bottom. It says, but he is a leper. Whoa. She'll smile, and she'll say, we'll get back to you. She won't say, we don't hire lepers. That would be politically incorrect, and she'd be sued. What she does is she smiles and she says, but we'll get back to you.
Well, this fact,
thank you so much. And she'll kind of... About Naaman the Syrian is most important. It didn't matter that he had all of these great accolades, he had these great trophies, he had these great awards, he had these diplomas and certificates. It didn't matter that he was a great national treasure and that he was a war hero and had ribbons on his chest from here all the way down. The Purple Heart, the Silver Star, the Bronze Star, the Congressional Medal of Honor. But he was a leper. Now back in that day, leprosy was considered to be highly contagious and it was a death sentence. And the Lord put this story in the Bible to show us a picture of ourselves as a sinner. All of the great qualities that you have, and you have great qualities. All of your accomplishments, your awards, your trophies, your certificates, they're admirable. But then God puts the truth on that resume. But you are a sinner. And the truth of the matter is, sin is a death sentence. Sin, a wall you cannot feel, a wound that will not heal, a war you cannot win, and a way that's wrong within. First of all, it's a wall you cannot feel. The moment somebody is labeled a leper, his friends stop calling. A leper. In the days of Christ, if a person was a leper, they were required by law to cry out a warning wherever they went. Unclean, unclean, unclean. And people would stay away. Leper. A dirty, filthy, loathsome, deadly disease. A wall between him and his family. A wall between him and his friends. A wall between him and society. But sin is even worse because it's a wall between the sinner and God, higher than the Great Wall of China or any wall you can build on any country's border, is the wall of sin, a barrier. Whenever you sin against your wife or ever sin against your husband, immediately a wall goes up until you get it right. It's not the same. There's a barrier, a coldness, a distance. But worst of all is the distance between man and God caused by sin. And there's no way to get around it. There's no way to get under it. There's no way to get over it. That's a bad situation. It's a wall you cannot feel. Second, it's a wound that will not heal. You look down and you see that spot. You might say it's nothing, but if the doctor says it's leprosy, it's going to get worse and worse and worse because there was no cure. Today they call it Hansen's disease, and we know that it is a disease of the blood where blood can't get to the extremities. Because blood can't get to the extremities, if you get a little scratch on your finger, it begins to rot. Your extremities start to fall off. It was a loathsome, filthy disease. No one wanted to have leprosy. It was a wound that will not heal. You know, that's what sin is. And God has given us a conscience that sometimes aches in the middle of the night. We remember that thing and we say, oh, did I do that? And yourself says, yep, that was you. Guilt. And there's no cure for it on earth. You can go to the psychiatrist, you can go to the doctor, you can go to the brain surgeon. They have no cure for sin. They have no cure for guilt because guilt is truth. It's what you did, what I did. That's a picture of Naaman. But he was a leper, a wall you cannot feel, a wound that will not heal, a war you cannot win. He won every battle. He was a great general. He had battle ribbons to prove it. He wasn't used to losing. If there was some way he could take that hill, he would take it. But now he faced a battle that no man can win. Why? Because sin is a war against God. That's a losing battle. You can't win a war against God. The Bible says that we as sinners are at enmity with God. We've declared war on God. How foolish is that? Sin. But he was a sinner. And that describes all of us. A wall you cannot heal. A wound that will not heal. A war you cannot win. A way that's wrong. Within. Oh, we want to blame this person and we want to blame that person. And Adam says, but Eve. And Eve says, oh, but the serpent. And we always want to blame somebody for what we did or did, didn't do that we were supposed to do. Blame somebody else. That's, of course, what psychology is. You lay down on the couch after you paid the psychiatrist $200. He feels better, but $200. But you just feel the same. And he says, just talk. And you talk. And you say, oh, it was my mother. She didn't love me. It was my father. He beat me. Or it was my uncle. He was a drunkard. And you blame somebody for your problems. No. A sin is a way that's wrong within. It's in us. Now take a look at the story. He gets this message from the prophet. After hearing that the prophet can heal of his leprosy, verse number 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come to me. Of course, we know that the king of Syria sent a letter to the king of Israel and said, I heard that your God can heal leprosy. Heal this man. And the king was shaken in his boots. He said, how can I heal this man? I can't. And the prophet said, not to worry. Send him to me. Well, you know, I don't have a cure for sin. I don't have a solution for sin. We don't have a solution for sin, but we know who does. Jesus says, send them to me. And if there's somebody here today that recognizes that their problem is a sin problem, and that's what we are, sinners, there's a cure, and it's the Lord Jesus. He's the great physician. He says, send him to me. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the highway. He's the freeway. He's the throughway. He's the narrow way, and he's the only way. Send them to me. Some are living too low. That's the problem. There's a high cost of low living. And we see people all the time and their hearts break. They don't realize it. They're living too low. God wants us to go to higher ground. Jesus is the highway. Jesus is the freeway. He pays the price. He doesn't ask you to put in your quarter or your dollar. Jesus paid it all at a place called Calvary. He died for you and he died for me. He's the highway and he's the freeway. He's also the throughway. Somebody is stuck and they say, how am I going to get through this? Well, I can't help you. But Jesus says, send him to me. I'm the throughway. He'll get you through. When thou passest through the waters, he said, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, neither shalt thou be burned. He's the throughway. The psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Somebody might be here and they're going through something right now. And I would just say that Jesus is the throughway. He is the highway, he's the freeway, he's the throughway. Wait a minute, he's also the narrow way. We have to want to go through and to come to him. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. You remember what I said about there's only one way? He's the only way. And that's what Naaman was so upset about. Verse 9, and Naaman came with his horses and his chariot, and he stood at the door of the prophet. And Elisha sent out a messenger unto him. Didn't he even come out himself? Sent out a messenger. And the reason is, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You know, he was an important person. He had a letter from the king of Syria. He thought Billy Graham was going to come out and talk to him personally. Because he was an important person. And the prophet didn't even come out. He just sent the word. Which reminds us of that centurion in the New Testament who had so much faith in Jesus Christ when Jesus was going to go into his house and heal his sick servant. The centurion, the Roman centurion, said, no, don't come in my house. I'm not worthy. Just say the word. I'm a man of authority. When I say to one of my soldiers, come, he comes. When I say go, he goes. When I say sit, he sits. I know authority when I see it, and you have authority just to speak a word. And Jesus said, I marvel at such a faith. And that's what faith is believing God's word. And this prophet didn't even come out. He just sent the word. But that's all we need when we open this book and come to that place. Verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Wow, he's got the answer. What does he do? And Naaman was wrought, just like those people in Luke chapter 4, angry. And he went away and said, behold, I thought he surely would come out to me and stand and call upon the name of his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He said, I thought. And he was angry. How many times have people come so close to the kingdom of God, but then they thought that God should do it this way? Or they thought that God should do it that way? He should at least recognize who I am, maybe a little red carpet, a pat on the back, a little recognition. No. He just sent the word and said, go dip thyself 7 times in the Jordan and thou shalt be clean. Well, where does the water from the Jordan come from? Syria. His own country. Why should he go down to Israel and dunk in that river when they get their water from us? It's a way that's wrong within. The sin that God hates the most, according to the book of Proverbs, the one that's on the top, number one on the list, pride. Amen. It not only takes us the wrong way, but it keeps us there. He was so close to a miracle, but his pride was hurt. And he turned around, the Bible said, and he started to storm off, dragging his leprosy with him. He was going to go home the same way he came. He was too proud. You see, there's a time when we need an alteration, A-L-T-E-R-A-T-I-O-N, but that wouldn't help Naaman at all. He needs what I call an alteration, A-L-T-A-R-A-T-I-O-N. He needs to come to an altar and pronounce himself a sinner in need of a Savior and believe God's word. And he started to leave, and one of his servants runs after him. Verse 13, my father, if the prophet had asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? If he asked him to take some hill, to take some fort, to destroy a castle, he would have done that. He had his soldiers, he had his chariots, he had his army. But salvation is one-on-one. We stand alone before God as a needy, poor leper with no hope in the world and do what God asks us to do. And he had a second thought, and that's what repentance is. Repentance is just having a second thought and changing your mind. Repent, said John the Baptist, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And just then he turns around as repentance. And he goes and does what God asks him to do. That's faith. Have you come to the place in your life where you see that God's word is true? Have you come to the place in your life where you see that sin is serious? So serious that God sent his son to die on the cross and shed his blood for you and me? Have you come to the place in your life where you're willing to humble yourself, even with all of your awards, certificates, accolades, diplomas, riches, and come before God just as you are? A needy sinner. It's one thing to open the book. It's another thing to come to the place. Well, once you come to that place that you see yourself a sinner, a leper, unable to save yourself with a wall that he speaks of in Isaiah. The Lord's ear is not heavy that he cannot hear, nor his hand shortened that he cannot save, but your iniquities and your sins have separated him from you, that he will not hear you. It's a wall. It's a wall. Don't you want that wall removed today so that you could be out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light? A wall you cannot feel, a wound that will not heal. You can rub things over that guilty conscience forever, but it'll always be there. Jesus died to pay for your sins and take them away and bury them in the sea of God's forgetfulness. A war you cannot win. Stop fighting against God and surrender. That's what I did. When I came home from Vietnam, I had the war still raging in my heart. I didn't know what to do about it, and I almost went off the cliff myself, like so many did. And then I heard about Jesus chapter 5, verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out in companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto the mistress, would to God my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would recover him of his leprosy. No matter how dark the situation, God always sends a little light. And there was a little light, a little girl who was a maid, who was a servant, who was a slave, who was a captive. Let that little light shine. And said, I would to God that my master would hear the prophet in Samaria. Somebody down in the dumps goes through the cashier line in Piggly Wiggly. And the cashier says, how are you doing? You look so down today. And here's a sad story. And she recognizes sin when she sees it. And she says, would to God you knew my Savior, Jesus. He could solve that problem and heal you of your leprosy. And somebody once says, I want to hear more. And the story of salvation is repeated again. Well, I heard the voice. And I got down on my knees by an army bunk bed. And I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. And I rose up and there was no more war in my heart. There was peace that passes all understanding. God always sends his little light. Because when we open up this book, it's a book of light. Don't go out of here a sinner unsaved. God has done everything possible by sending a son to die for you. Do like Naaman did. Turn around. Have that change of heart. Have that change of mind. Make that change of direction. Just do what God says. Now you can dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan or 1,000 times and it won't save you. It won't wash away sin. But just one time, bow before Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior, and you'll rise up a new creature in Christ. What are you waiting for? Let's pray. Father, thank you for salvation. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you do care about the Hebrews, Israel, but you care about the whole world. Even Syrians and Samaritans and Ethiopians. And you sent your son to die for the whole world if they would only come. I pray if somebody here this morning sees that their problem is a sin problem, and they sense the wall and they feel the wound and they feel the war and they feel the turmoil of something wrong within, I pray that they would turn around like Naaman did and just do what you asked them to do, to put faith in your son who died on the cross for them. May they do it even before they leave today. And then, Lord, may we, by the little captive maid, be the little light to tell someone, I would to God that you met my Savior, Jesus, who's the only one that can save from sin. Bless us as we go from this place and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Good day. God bless you. Thank you for coming.